You're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM WOMMLP, Burlington, Vermont. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and this is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. Write the Book features interviews with authors, poets, illustrators, agents, and editors. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear a little bit about something called NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month. According to the group's website, NaNoWriMo is a fun seat-of-your-pants approach to novel writing. Participants begin writing on November 1st. The goal is to write a 50,000-word novel by 11:59:59 on November 30th, and that's approximately 175 pages, according to the website. Valuing enthusiasm and perseverance over painstaking craft, NaNoWriMo is a novel writing program for everyone who has thought fleetingly about writing a novel but has been scared away by the time and effort involved. Because of the limited writing window, the only thing that matters in NaNoWriMo is output, which means it's all about quantity and not quality. This approach forces you to lower your expectations, take risks, and, as they say, write on the fly. And then they say, make no mistake, you will be writing a lot of crap, and that's a good thing. By forcing yourself to write so intensely, you are giving yourself permission to make mistakes, to forego the endless tweaking and editing, and just create, to build without tearing down. As you spend November writing, they say to their readers, you can draw comfort from the fact that all around the world, other National Novel Writing Month participants are going through the same joys and sorrows of producing the great frantic novel. NaNoWriMo's meet throughout the month to offer encouragement, commiseration, and when the thing is done, the kind of raucous celebrations that tend to frighten animals and small children. In 2010, NaNoWriMo had over 200,000 participants, and more than 30,000 of them crossed the 50,000-word count finish line by the midnight deadline, and they say this entered them into the annals of NaNoWriMo superstardom forever. They started the month as auto mechanics, out-of-work actors, and middle school English teachers, and they walked away novelists. So that information, again, came from the NaNoWriMo website, which can be found at NaNoWriMo.org. I'm going to air two interviews today. The first is an interview that I did with a local Burlington area couple who both participate in NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo for the enjoyment and experience of it, with no intention of publishing. And then the second half of the show today is an interview with published author T. Greenwood, who participates in NaNoWriMo in order to work on novels that she does indeed plan to publish. So, first off, the Lalandes. Martin Lalande is an attorney and a stay-at-home dad. And Anne Gilson Lalande is an attorney whose day job involves writing about trademark law. They live in South Burlington with their very literary children who are also participating in NaNoWriMo this year, and their very literary pets, some of whom have been featured prominently in Anne's previous NaNoWriMo endeavors. I believe this is the family's fourth year taking part in NaNoWriMo. When I spoke with Martin and Anne in October, I asked how they first began participating in National Novel Writing Month.
So Martin's niece, was it 4 years ago, called us on October 31st and said, oh, this is something you guys really should do. We said, wait, tomorrow, we have to start tomorrow. And so the next day we just sat down and started typing the first paragraph, the second paragraph.
Wow.
And so
you'd never even heard of it until the day before?
Right.
And so how did you know what to write about? Did you have novels in mind from before?
No.
That is, sat down and started with the first sentence, and then it just, everything sort of happened.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, that started with the sentence that led to the paragraph, led to the first chapter, and then the story just went where it went.
Mm-hmm. So were you shocked that you had novels inside of yourselves?
Yes, I was. Were you?
Yeah, I'm not so sure I had novels inside of myself. They're not very good novels that I've done. We've done 3 years. This is our fourth year, and one of the 3 years, I afterwards worked on the book, the story, some more, and that's what Buck Fever became.
And the other two, I didn't do any additional work on it. It was a story. There were parts that I liked, and it just didn't quite finish in a total novel or novella. It didn't quite finish well, and I couldn't finish them off.
So did you hit the word count and then stop?
No, I finished the story, but it just didn't. It was There are parts of it I like, but you know, I don't really want to keep working on this.
Right. So. It takes a lot of work to go back and do it. I mean, that's the one thing people really seem to mock when you mention this to them. They say, "Well, you know, you're doing this in a month. It must just be awful what you're writing." And even if it is, that's you go back and you work on it. You don't just take it as it is and send it off to the public. I think people do, but people apparently do. It spikes the things sent to
right.
publishers.
You hear that agents sort of cringe the first week in December because they're getting like three times the normal number of queries.
Yes, but the one that I did last year, it took me until about a month ago to really finish, and I went over. I did several drafts of it. And one of the kids read it.
Now, is that one of these?
Yes, this is the Notes to Self.
Okay.
And then the next 2 years after, so after the first year, we knew it was coming. We knew November was coming. And so I at least prepared a lot more the last 2 years and thought a lot more about what the book was going to be about.
Yes, I did the same thing. Yeah.
So do you outline ahead of time or just sort of let it kind of germinate?
Well, the first year was the germinating, and the first year I didn't know how to finish it when I got there at the end. I think Anne had earlier figured out that this is how it's going to end. The next year was really the easiest year for me. It was more of a kid's story. I was writing with my son in mind. It's a story of a boy's first hunt. I really knew about that, because I essentially wrote really what I knew, and I knew how it was going to end generally. So, and then the third year, I tried to map it all out, and I just set myself up with a very difficult plot line that I couldn't make it work at the end.
Right.
This year, I haven't really figured it out. I want to be more like the first year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I like what I did the first year a lot. I like the other ones too, but the first year is really fun, and just everything's very unexpected in the book in kind of an enjoyable way, I think.
Right. Well, there is a sort of school of thought that outlining might help you get from A to Z, but it's a little more mechanical, a little less, out there.
Right.
So I should mention that you've published or you've printed all of your books up with Lulu, and there are three books here by Anne, mm-hmm. and one by Martin, and then one by Tess, your daughter. So talk about having them printed. You did that just for you and to give to some friends and family, is that right?
Right. And you can't buy them. I don't know that anybody would want to. But so they're not for, you can choose whether they're for public access or just for your own private printing on Lulu. And I printed out probably 15 to 20 of each one and mailed them off to relatives, and I have a few upstairs, and just in case.
Did you get feedback?
I did, but I told them that I wasn't going to be rewriting it, so that I wanted only positive feedback. Because I'd really spent a long time going over it, and I had Martin read all of them, and he edited them, and my kids read some of the parts of them, and once I printed them up, this was it. This is what I wanted to do, and I didn't want people to say, I think it ended correctly, and why didn't you have this character come back at the end so he could be redeemed? And I didn't want that.
Yeah.
So I did tell everybody, here's the book. You don't have to read it, but you have to say nice things about it if you do end up reading.
And did they?
And they did, yes. People said nice things, as directed.
And did you think that they all read it?
No. The people who responded to me, yes, they read it. But certainly not everybody I sent it to read it. I don't think my brothers read it. But that's fine, as long as they put it up in a nice place in their bookshelf. And that's all. That's fine. But it's nice to have something to hold on to.
Yes.
And
when our daughter wrote hers, she brought a bunch of them to school, and she autographed them in class for people.
Oh,
and
fun.
They have one in the school library that kids can check out, and it's exciting. And they look like real books. I mean, they do. They're real books.
But now, when you're working during November, what's your schedule like? Do you guys have regular jobs, first of all, during the day? And
well, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean there's a lot of extra time. I have phoned out. I've been a stay-at-home dad for 4 years. But I try not to write during the day. It's a little unfair to Anne because, you know, I may have a little extra time that I can write. But I generally try not to do that. So we usually write in the evening. Yeah, I mean, except for weekends when we try to get a lot of words in.
Yeah. Now, the kids are going to be doing it this year. And it sounds like Tess has done it before.
Yes, okay. She's done it before.
So they're both going to do it this year.
Yes.
So are you all going to sit around the table and write together every night? Or what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know. Tess is going to hand write hers, which means one of us has to type it up. So I guess we could all be in the same room. I don't envision that working very well, but it's possible.
Now, what have you done in the past? Because when you started, they were 6 and 8, right?
They were little. We would tell them, go in your room and read a book. It's November. We can't deal with you. And there were lots of nights, all of those Novembers, that they put themselves to bed when usually we would go in, sit with them,
so
talk to them.
You're just shouting from the kitchen,
just go away. Yes, absolutely. We would do that. And for my job, I work at home, and I'm a writer. I write a legal treatise on trademark law.
Mm.
So this for me means a lot of sitting in front of the computer. I mean, this is sort of extra sitting in front of the computer and writing. But it's so much different because when I'm writing for work, I have to really think about whether I'm oversimplifying. I mean, really think about what I'm saying in the sentence. And you have to just keep writing if you're going to do the NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
If you backspace and you erase even a word, it's just a sin. I can't help myself from doing it. But you're supposed to put your inner editor away. It's really difficult to do. But it's a lot of words. I mean, it's 8 to 10 pages
every day. Yeah.
And a lot of days you're trying to get more than that to sort of stock up. At the beginning, you're trying to write a lot of words because then you don't feel quite as stressed at the end.
Right.
So there's a lot of writing late at night in bed on the laptops.
Now, you said a minute ago something about, like, maybe you didn't think one of the books that you'd worked on was your best effort, or I don't remember exactly how you put it. You just didn't like how it came out in the end. And I'm just curious, do you still feel like it's been a good exercise?
Oh, absolutely.
Even when you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, it's first and foremost, it's just the writing of it. And it's writing in such a fun manner that you're going to sit down, you're going to tell the story, and even when I planned out the story in advance, it still went places that I didn't expect. So I mean, you're living this life with the characters, and you're getting them into these situations. And the first year, particularly, it was a strange story. I probably can't even summarize exactly what happened, but it was a situation where I would have dreams about this. I had these most vivid dreams during that month. It didn't happen the last couple of years as much, and my whole kind of inner imagination was stimulated.
Yeah.
And it was really fun, and for me especially, it was a few months since I think it was the first year that I was off of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, or if it was after a year. I'm not sure exactly, but I hadn't. I was a lawyer before and did a lot of writing and arguments and such, and I didn't really have that for a while as far as that intellectual stimulation, which this also is, because you set yourself up puzzles. You're trying to figure out where these things are going, where
mm-hmm.
the plot's going.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to figure out what your characters are going to do. And that's really intellectually stimulating, and it's very imaginative and creative.
And it also is a really fun social thing to do also. I mean, if just one of us was doing this, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to go work on my novel because it's very decadent to do. But it's also so much fun talking to somebody about what your characters are doing and where they should go, and talking to the kids about it too. My first book, which was the very random book, I had these characters and they were in the middle of the lake and their boat had run out of gas, and I'm not sure why. Yeah, but it just, you know, this is what I wrote. And then I thought, okay, well, what do I do? And I asked my kids, well, where do they go? And my kids said, the pirates will come, and the pirates will get them. And so I turned that into these pirate reenactors who are out for the weekend, every weekend, and they speak pirate. And it was so much fun. But I did honestly had them in the middle of the lake, and I didn't know what they were going to do. And I talked it out with the kids, and that was really fun. So it's great. You can control all the characters, but yeah, you really do kind of work yourself into these situations, which is so funny, because you'd think if you're writing a book, you'd think ahead and you maybe wouldn't have them run out of gas. But I did, and I thought, oh no, I have to bring them somewhere. Right, right. I have to get them to land somehow.
Because I'm a writer as well, and I was working on a book, and it was a very quiet plot. It was just a little quiet, sleepy Vermont town plot, and then all of a sudden this dead body showed up, and I'm like, oh no! That wasn't supposed to happen!
Yes, yes! How did that, right? Exactly!
So it doesn't sound like you guys are trying to publish your books or have plans to try to do that.
Micro publishing.
Mini publishing.
Yeah, mini micro publishing. Yes.
That's not the goal.
No, that's not the goal. It's not the goal.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the month of writing, which is so fun. And I like the revising it and finally getting into this nice, pretty final form to just hand out to a few people. And not to try to get it.
Dreams of Barnes and Noble having a little space for you.
No, every once in a while I think, oh, wouldn't that be great? But no.
So the NaNoWriMo website offers all kinds of support in the form of buddies and forums and widgets and badges and all this stuff that you can have fun with. Do you use the website pretty fully?
I love the website. Yeah. I think they have such a great sense of humor. They've got a fantastic attitude. I think it's all these sort of 20-somethings, and they're wonderful. And we have this little family blog just to put pictures up for our moms, really. And we have our word count up there, so everybody can check it, whenever, which tries to keep us sort of accountable.
Right, right.
I like the Young Writer Program website. They have a couple things that I really like. There's a little dare machine on the front that has very random things, like have your next chapter have a hockey game that involves a vampire or something. I mean, I don't use them necessarily,
things out
but
there.
It's fun. You kind of keep refreshing. That keeps having these new things. And every once in a while, you'll get it. I don't know. I will, because my books are sort of silly. And I'll get a good idea, out of it. But they also have these really neat workbooks, and they have an elementary, a middle school, and a high school version, and they talk about dialogue, and they talk about the constructing a plot and how it should generally work, and subplots and characters, and it has places for you to write all kinds of things about your characters and learn about them. And I think the website is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there's one other aspect of it that this is slightly competitive, but not that much, because we're more doing it together. But you have writing buddies, and after a week or two, you start having word count, and so you can see how you're doing. I can see that I'm a couple thousand words ahead of Anne, but that usually means that I guess I'm making dinner that night. If I'm a little further ahead. But with others, it's a lot of fun. But unfortunately, so far, the people we've talked into starting haven't gone very far with it. So, you know, for the first week or two, we saw,
so is
going, and then all of a sudden, oh, we haven't seen any more words in about 4 or 5 days. I guess we're on our own again. So.
Now, what about, I noticed on the website that you're to post your novel. So is that something that you do so that they can keep track of your word count?
All you do is you put in, at the end of November, you sort of cut and paste your novel in, and all it does is count your words, and then it erases it.
So it doesn't show anybody else your novel.
No one ever has to see your novel.
You can put it up, but you don't.
You can also. I think they have forums where you can ask for people to edit it and things like that. But
so there are like writing group opportunities.
Yeah, you post it only for the word count, and And they also, you know, they explain how to randomize the words so that nobody will ever actually read it. I never have done that. But you post, but you just you cut and paste it just for the word count at the end, just
okay.
to win.
So at the very end, that happens. But in the meantime, your word count is just
you just type in what you find on what Microsoft Word and, or whatever you're
but
using.
But after a while, you can upload it, and it will give you the official
right.
Your official word count.
The 25th.
And if you hit 50,000, it could be 5 days early.
Yeah.
Then you're a winner.
You've
then
won. Right.
Yes. I mean,
right.
So.
And that's another thing people don't really understand is when you say you've won, and people think it's a writing kind of a competition for who's the best writer and things like that. But you win if you've completed beginning, middle, and end. That's what they define as a novel in the on the website. 50,000 words. And then you've won. You're a winner.
Okay.
So it's not. It's a competition only in that you are writing 50,000.
Now, does the first person to actually post their novel get any sort of accolade or anything like that?
I don't think so.
No.
Not that I know of.
Okay. No. So I was doing a little research to get ready for our talk, and I found this article that I think has been fairly controversial. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's a journalist named Laura Miller who writes for Salon, and she wrote an article recently titled, Better Yet, Don't Write That Novel, Why National Novel Writing Month is a Waste of Time and Energy. Her basic point is that there are enough writers in the world, and what we really need is more readers and more focus on reading and not more focus on books. So, and she got all this feedback. People were really upset.
And I think, I mean, just one thing she said I'd take issue with right away is, I think it's made me a better reader.
Mm.
I think writing these has made me appreciate how hard the craft is, and when it's done well, how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting down and trying to write a novel is a great way to expand how good of a reader you are, I think. And it's been, I suppose, if there are 100,000 people now trying to get their books published, and a lot of them probably aren't very good, I wouldn't even say that mine's necessarily good enough to be published, I guess that could be a little bit of a problem, because there are an awful lot of books out there, but I don't think that's the main point of it.
Yeah.
I think the main point of it is it's a very personal thing to sit down and be creative for a month.
Yeah.
Use your imagination.
Yeah, and if you look, too, at the website, is sort of the spirit of it is, it's not going to be very good when you write it, but that's not the point. You're going in and just engaging with your imagination and creating your own world, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, it's a silly criticism. You know, you say, have you tried it?
Yeah.
You know, have you actually tried?
Yeah,
I just see how fun this is. And I actually talked my parents into doing this, which...
Oh, did you?
For 1 year, my parents did it. I can't believe they did it.
Did they print their books and send them to
my mom? Yes, my mom did. My dad, I think there's only one copy of his book that exists. But no, and my mom writes children's books, and she's published about 21, I think, children's books. And I think she had a lot of fun writing and letting it. It was a very strange book, and she had a great time with it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And she went into it without any intention of publishing it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it was just to have fun.
So one of the emails that somebody wrote in response to this article, I just wanted your reaction to this. He mentioned that he has friends who have participated in NaNoWriMo, and they describe the experience as, quote, like putting on a big variety show on no budget, an insane, sleepless group adrenaline rush that at the end makes you feel exhilarated and part of a crazy family.
I love it.
Does that sound right?
Sure. I think that's terrific.
I really enjoyed that comment.
It is. And yes, I love it. It captures the ending and the sort of the pain, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
there you are. You've done it.
Yeah.
And then do you have
days where you don't write at all because you just can't?
Oh, no. You can't. That's terrifying to me. That there would be days you don't write at all. No, there's a point that's about at 30, I think each year, about 30 to 35,000 words where you think, there is no way. And you look back, you think, I have to do almost as much as I already wrote, but I can't do it. there are several moments, but it's especially right around 30,000, and that's when they start sending, I think, more pep talks. They say, we know, because the people who are writing, the people from the website who are writing these pep talks, they've done this. I mean, some people have done this it's been around for 13 years, and they say, you know what, we all know, end of week two, middle of week three, bad time. But no, I can't imagine not writing for a day. That would be a
You lose the momentum. Oh, it's a big momentum the whole time.
Yeah.
But some days, there I think occasionally where you don't get very many words, or you just don't have. But if you just sit down and do a little bit, that's the main thing.
Right. Yeah.
They encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
But I guess the other thing, as far as I like the idea that there are 50,000 books that are being written every year, and from that there are some good stories that are coming out too. I mean, the Night Circus is one of them. There are mm-hmm. many others that kind of have percolated through this thing and ended up being lovely novels.
Right. The Water for Elephants,
Right.
And those, they took years after they were written. I mean, it's not
sure.
So you're not really writing a novel in a month. You're writing a draft of a novel in a month.
Right.
That's the easier way to think about it.
I don't know if you've read Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird. Have you read
yes,
that book? Right?
Yes.
So she's got this wonderful chapter that I can't say on the radio because it's got a word in it that you're not allowed to say. But she talks about how you have to write a really bad first draft in order to get into the next stage.
Right.
So it's like you have to do it at some point. So it's kind of fun to do it all at once.
And I think the neat thing is that there's really no way I would have ever done this but for the NaNoWriMo, the organization. And think, maybe someday, wouldn't it be fun to write a novel? And I would never have done this. And now I've done these three things, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
But it would never have occurred to me to set aside time to write a novel.
Yeah.
Would just have been silly. So now, it's all compressed into 1 month, and then you can take your deep breath and go through it and change things and change the ending and change people's names and do it,
Right.
All kinds of things.
So do you have any advice for people who are thinking of doing it, either this year or another year?
Yeah, the advice would be to just have fun with it, and just write every day and not worry about up front having your whole plot figured out or your characters figured out. Let the story take you where it will take you. It often is kind of random that all of a sudden you walk around the corner and a car hits you or whatever. I mean, it's kind of a rush as far as letting your imagination go like that. Mm-hmm. And as long as you just keep with it, because there are a couple times during the month and you say, I'm stuck on this, what is happening here, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but you just kind of fight through those couple times and it gets back to being fun again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And one thing I've found helpful too is to tell as many people as possible that you're doing it.
Okay.
So that you think, well, gosh, all these people know that I'm writing this. I better do it. And there's really something to that. I mean, my family, they know that we're doing this year. And I would be kind of embarrassed to say, it got too hard at 30,000 words. I gave up. So I've been Facebook. I mean, I'm trying to get people on. Nobody's going to do it. But I'm telling them, I'm going to post my word count. I'm going to let people know, hey, I'm doing this.
And the other thing, it sounds hard, and sometimes it is, but it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be either, because we've done three. Each of us mm-hmm. have gone through and done three stories. Anne's taken all three of hers to the next step and edited it, and I've done that with one. But it's doable. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, with Anne, she has the full-time job. I guess I have the full-time job too. So it's also doable and letting mm-hmm. life go on
right.
as well. Mm-hmm. It's just that it replaces, I think in our case, it probably replaces reading more at night than TV, but it, you know, there's things that can replace.
Yeah.
You know, those other things you do for entertainment. Because bottom line is we're doing it to entertain ourselves.
Right. So. Do you write on Thanksgiving? Early in the morning, maybe?
Thanksgiving, we've been at my parents' house, but that's been great because other people have taken the kids. But this year we're staying here and we have friends coming, so.
Yeah, and I. And
you have to tell them.
The week before Thanksgiving, I've gone up, I go hunting every year in Michigan. And so I have no kids. I really have little responsibility except for sitting in a deer blind, waiting for the deer to come out.
With my laptop.
It's wonderful because, I do a lot of writing there. So by Thanksgiving time, you know, I'm ahead. And last year, I made the Thanksgiving dinner at Ann's parents. And she worked on her novel. So I kind of have that little boost where I can kind of get ahead of the game when I'm gone for a week away from all
this
responsibilities.
This explains Buck Fever.
And that was, it was great when I was writing that story. I should do deer hunting stories every year. I think I've exhausted that subject for myself. As I would talk to my dad about, and he'd tell me stories that I'd incorporate into it, and that was always fun.
Yeah.
So it's kind of based on, and he's a fabulous storyteller. We've tried to get him to do this, but he doesn't type. Anybody who would key it in for him.
You should get him that dragon dictation.
That's true.
Well, listen, thank you so much. This is really fun talking to you.
Thank you.
We could talk about this all day.
That's true.
I hope you enjoyed the first half of our NaNoWriMo show, an interview with Martin and Anne Lalonde. I haven't spoken with them since our interview, but I must admit that I've lurked a little bit on their NaNoWriMo stats pages, and you'll be glad to know that they are both on track, each having written over 28,000 words so far and staying ridiculously close to each other in total word count, although it does look like Anne probably made dinner last night. My third guest on today's show is Tammy Greenwood, who publishes under the name T. Greenwood. The author of 6 novels, she has received grants from the Sherwood Anderson Foundation, the Christopher Isherwood Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and most recently, the Maryland State Arts Council. Her book, Two Rivers, was named Best General Fiction Book at the San Diego Book Awards last year. 4 of her novels have been BookSense 76 IndieBound picks. This Glittering World is a January 2011 selection. Her next novel, Grace, will be published in April. She teaches creative writing at both the University of California, San Diego's Extension Program, and at the Ink Spot. She and her husband, Patrick, live in San Diego, California, with their 2 daughters, and she is also an aspiring photographer. Unlike Martin and Anne, Tammy spoke with me after NaNoWriMo had already begun on the morning of November 10th, which was very kind of her. Everything considered. So I began by asking her how many words she had written so far toward finishing the first draft of her next novel.
23, right?
Yay!
This moment. 23,023, as a matter of fact.
That's great. We're not halfway through the month yet, so that's really good.
Yeah, I'm anticipating that, around Thanksgiving, things are going to get a little hectic. So I tend to load up at the beginning of the month on the word count, just because that way if I need to take a day or, there's some wrench later, then it's there. And this book is just actually happening faster. And some books are like that, some books they're not. And this one is just, it's been coming pretty readily, which is nice.
That's great. Now, how many books have you actually published, Tammy?
I have 6 published, and then my 7th will be out in April of next year.
And have you participated in NaNoWriMo with each of those books, or did you start writing before this existed?
Yeah, I've done NaNoWriMo, I've succeeded at finishing twice, and one of the books was a book that ended up being published much, much later. The other one will stay in the drawer forever. I was writing long before I started doing NaNoWriMo, but it's always been my sort of mode of operating anyway. I tend to write first drafts very rapidly, in 6 weeks or 8 weeks I'll get sort of the bones down and then spend the next year or so revising.
Right.
So it's it's how I prefer to work anyway, and it's just kind of nice having the collective experience of, you know, other people. You know, we have a Facebook group, and, you know, I have a lot of friends who are doing it as well, and there's something really, I don't know, you don't feel quite so alone, and writing is such a solitary sort of activity that anything that you can do to create a sense of community and, you know, a spirit of camaraderie, I think, is a good thing when it comes to writing, you know, writing that first draft, which is the most fun and the most difficult.
Well, I know you founded or you established the Facebook group that you participate in around NaNoWriMo, and I'm just curious, do you also take part in the sort of chat discussions that go on their website?
You know, I haven't. I actually, this year, I found that I haven't been using the website as much, and not for any reason other than the fact that, you know, I do have this little group of people who I actually know, you know, and whose work I'm familiar with in a lot of cases. So it's been a bit more personal, I think, for me by having this little Facebook group and actual real life friends.
Right.
that I'm sharing the experience with. But I think it can be a terrific resource, though, especially for people who aren't friends with other writers.
Yes.
You know, it sort of legitimizes the process, and I think that's the biggest struggle that beginning writers or, you know, not published writers have, is that it's hard to see what you're doing as a legitimate thing when nobody else around you really cares.
Right.
And you know, I mean, maybe yourself or your children are excited for you, but for the most part, when you're writing and you haven't published, and, you know, it's sort of this thing that not everybody understands. And I think NaNoWriMo creates a nice sense of community of people who are supportive of each other. And, you know, those forums and little chat areas can be a great way to connect with other people who might be struggling with the same issues.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is your sense that most of the people who participate are hoping to publish, or is it more, you know, sort of a, well, actually, so you mostly interact with your own friends. Are they all hoping to publish, or are they doing this for fun, some of them?
Some of them do it for fun. Others are, you know, are writers who are definitely hoping to be published eventually with you know, hoping to publish these particular projects. It's really funny, because I think, I teach a NaNoWriMo prep class, and I just finished doing that. We did a two-weekend session, or, you know, a two-Saturday session, and it was, I warned them. I said, you know, you're not going to have finished books at the end of this. These are, you know, even myself, you know, I'm experienced. I've written a lot of novels, and I understand that I'm not going to have a book that is ready to be published at the end of 4 weeks.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I think that a lot of people sort of hope that they're going to write this, you know, grand masterpiece and have it ready to go. And my editor actually says that he hates December because that's when he gets all the unsolicited, you know, NaNoWriMo products coming at him from every direction, you know, with the query letters and everything. And, you know, there's, I don't know whether it's just this sort of idea of wanting to kind of get it over with that people have or what, but you know, it's a long process, and I try to encourage people to see this as just the start. This is just a great beginning,
right?
There's a lot of time on the other end of this, especially, you know, for me, I'll probably finish a very bare bones sort of draft this month and then spend the next 8 or 9 months really, you know, revising and you know, fixing it.
Will you set it aside? Will you set it aside in between and give yourself a little break, or will you kind of keep plodding right through?
Well, you know, normally I would. I'm under contract, so, and my next book is due basically a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a little bit under more of a time crunch than I normally would be, but with The Hungry Season, which was my first and, you know, the only book that I've had that I did NaNoWriMo with and ended up publishing, that book I left alone for a year before I was into it. And it was actually really great because I had tons of perspective and I could look at it for the sort of glorious mess that it was and see, you know, how it could be turned into something more refined. But this time around, I won't have quite as much time. But this is a novel I've been thinking about for several months now. And so, you know, I think it'll come together.
Yeah. Now, what about last year's NaNoWriMo? Did you end up trying to do anything with that, or did you not?
I didn't. I was actually in the middle of writing Grace, which is my next book that's coming out, and so I used the month to generate more work in the middle of the project.
Oh, okay.
So I was already probably, I think I was probably 100 or 150 pages into the book that, you know, when November came along. So rather than starting a new project, I just worked on that book, which is technically cheating, I guess, if you follow the NaNoWriMo rules. You're supposed to start from the beginning, not having written a word, and make it to the end of the story by the end of the month.
Now, I was looking at your Facebook page, and somebody mentioned that she had reached a certain word count, but that an unexpected plot twist had come up. Does that happen to you when you're writing during this month?
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of great surprises. I think, you know, that's why I write, is that there's this sort of excitement that happens with the first draft where anything is possible, you know, and there are, and I'm not a outliner. I don't plan everything in advance. I take a lot of notes, and I think a lot about my characters, and I do a lot of sort of background research on my characters. But in terms of plot, there are always surprises, and I don't think I would write if that weren't the case, because that's the joy of it. You know, that's the sort of thrill of writing a first draft, is you don't really know what's around each corner. And if you've crafted authentic characters, then those plot sort of things will just sort of fall into place naturally. And I think that happens all the time.
Yeah. So it must, and now it sounds like NaNoWriMo, one of the rules is that you need to have a finished product by the end of the month that's a certain number of words, and it should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that makes me think that probably they are not looking to encourage people to do really kind of outside the box type of books. Do you know what I mean? Books that don't necessarily follow a chronological. Is that anything, or is it just the rules are just sort of up to yourself?
They're up to you. I mean, there's no like NaNoWriMo police to come to your door and you know, arrest you for breaking the law, the NaNoWriMo law. But you know, I think the beauty of this project is that it's a collective experience. It's this sort of communal, you know, shared experience of doing something sort of manic and sort of crazy. And for writers, you know, for people who do this all the time, it still can be just a really nice way of committing. You know, I mean, like I said before, I've been thinking about this book for months now, and it was like, I've just had November 1st in my mind. Like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to sit down and knock this thing out. And, you know, I chose it because I knew that there were going to be a whole bunch of other people doing this at the same time. And you don't feel quite so alone in the task when you know, you've got other people who are, you know, going along with you. And there's something, you know, I think also it's accountability. When you commit to something like this and you've got friends who are doing it, people that you know that are doing it, you don't want to fail. And, you know, you want to, you know, we always post our word count, so everybody's kind of, we get a little competitive, you know, that, like, competitive spirit is in there, and, well, if she's got, you know, 20,000 words already, I could totally catch up, and, you know, and I think there's, you know, there's just something unique that happens during November that doesn't happen in March, and it doesn't happen in June, and, you know, all the other times when I'm sort of sitting by myself at the computer, so...
Yeah. Now, what's your schedule like? When are you writing all these words? Is it the same time every day, or does it change?
It is. Usually what I do, I'm fortunate right now that I am pretty much writing exclusively for a living. I teach a little bit, and my kids are both in school. So it's a wonderful time of my life in terms of having the time to write, because I definitely in the past have had to squeeze it in, and now I've got a pretty nice schedule. I get up at about 6, and I write for an hour, and then the kids get up, and I just leave my document open, and then the kids go to school. I drop them off at about 8:30, and then I can write until I reach my quota, and then I just leave the document open, and I can return to it throughout the day as I'm doing other things if I get an idea. So basically, I think you have 1,666 words or something that you have to do in a day to get to the 50,000, and that's surprisingly doable if you have an hour or 2 hours to commit. It doesn't really take that long, especially if you're not concerned with editing as you go, you know, to generate that kind of, I mean, you can type that many words in an hour, you know.
Right.
So it really, it doesn't take as much time as you would think to do it. And I think if you, you know, what I have learned in doing this a number of years now, or attempting to do it on, you know, some years, is that the more prepared I am, the easier it goes. And I did a lot of preparation, just, you know, in terms of jotting down notes and thinking about the characters and doing the necessary research, you know, historical research and things that I needed to do, so that there weren't a lot of questions that were getting in the way. You know, as I'm sitting down to write, I'm not getting lost on the internet researching things. And I've also learned to, you know, to put placeholders in. So if there is a question that comes up or something that I don't know, I'll just leave a space and go back to that after the month is done.
Yeah, right. Now, is that what your Prepare for NaNoWriMo class focuses on, is sort of preparing ahead of time, getting your research done and taking notes? Or are there other things that you suggest?
Yeah, basically, a lot of the students that I have that come to that class have never tried to write a novel before. So we covered basic things, you know, the sort of key components that you have to have in any good narrative, and, you know, strong characters, conflict. I have them articulate what the premise is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, a lot of people write entire books without knowing, you know, what it is that they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Really latching onto an idea that is going to compel them enough to make it through to the end of the book. And then I have them do, you know, background research on their characters, really sort of fleshing the characters out. We talk about narrative structure so that they have a sense of the, you know, the sort of plot points that they need to reach, or the milestones that they need to reach in order to, you know, have a coherent narrative. And that's basically it. I have them give them all sorts of different exercises to do in order to prepare. And I think that has really helped, because I've definitely done NaNoWriMo before where I had nothing but, like, a first line, and it didn't turn into much of any. I mean, it turned into 200 pages, but of, you know, ridiculous. So I think I'm getting better as you know, as I do this more and more.
Yeah, well, you must. I would think it would be a learned art to be able to write something in a month of that size. So, So I just have one last question. I'm wondering if you have just any general advice for other writers who might be thinking of participating one of these years.
I say you have nothing to lose, really. I mean, it's such a treat to yourself. I think it's especially for writers who have busy lives. They have jobs, they have children, they have spouses, they have other obligations. I think doing this really sort of prioritizes something that tends to get put at the bottom of the to-do list, you know, sort of the bucket list of things that a lot of people want to do is to write a book. And, you know, I think that participating in something like this brings it to the forefront, puts it at the top of the list, and again, gives you sort of this legitimate activity that you're participating in, whereas, you know, in March or June or whatever, it's hard to say, oh, I'm going to write a book and neglect all other obligations for a month. And, you know, this way you can say, well, there are 999,000 other people doing this at the same time as me, so it must be, you know, something valuable and something important to do. So, you know, and then just go for it. It's a fun thing, and, you know, you have to not take yourself too seriously as well. I think, you know, this should be fun.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I know that
you are
very busy this month, so. I hope you enjoyed our NaNoWriMo show. I'll try to remember to repeat this show next October, so anybody who wants a little reminder to get ready can hear it again. You can learn more about National Novel Writing Month at NaNoWriMo.org. Tammy Greenwood's website is tgreenwood.com. And her Facebook page is called NaNoWriMo with me, parentheses T, parentheses 2011, and then 2! And that is not just her friends on there. It is an open Facebook page. You're welcome to join in that conversation. In honor of NaNoWriMo's everywhere, today's Write the Book prompt is to write 1,667 words one day this week, or every day this week, depending on what you have planned. A copy of this prompt will be included in the description to this week's podcast. Good luck with this exercise, and please listen next week for another. If you're interested in sharing this show with out-of-town friends, let them know they can stream it live at theradiator.org every Monday from 2 to 3. Archived episodes of Write the Book are also available on iTunes and at writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. And a reminder, if you have comments about the show or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. The Radiator is here thanks to community support and involvement. You can get involved, and if you'd like to learn more about it, more information can be found online at theradiator.org. This has been Write the Book. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and you're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMM, LP, Burlington, Vermont.